Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thanks for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Terry Johns, CEO of our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. I was looking at the phones to see if Mike was calling.
And then all of a sudden I saw it flashing, and then I was not paying attention.
Terry and I are going to get into a bunch of fun stuff this morning. We got local good stories of the day, then a right story or two, some other great things we'll touch on. But we want to kick things off talking sports with our good friend Mike Clemens. Good to bring you back, sir. Mike, how have you been?
Good. How are you guys? I'm in Green Bay today. That's because we got a phone call, and they said, hey, Matt LaFleur's going to introduced the new defensive coordinator, this Jeff Hafley. So we had a good long conversation and press conference yesterday and spent the night in Green Bay and kind of recapping some of the changes on the defensive coaching staff for the Packers.
Cool.
Mike, how did that go? Is that where you want to start today?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, the story is, you know, why did you fire Joe Barry? Mm-hmm. And, of course, average Packer fan is saying, well, Mike, did you see the Buccaneers game? You know, Baker Mayfield, perfect passer rating, all that. The Vikings games where Justin Jefferson's running free. And I say, yeah, I know. But, you know, I had Johnny Holland was a linebacker for the Packers in the late 80s and early 90s. Very good linebacker. Mm-hmm. Brian Noble and Brian and John Anderson. And he's now a linebacker coach for the last several years with the 49ers. So I went to the Super Bowl and got a chance to talk to him off to the side about, you know, how often do you become a scapegoat in the NFL? Hmm. And he thought about it and he said, you know, yeah, if you don't win one of those Super Bowls, you know, you probably are, you know, going to be nervous until spring to find out if you still got a job. Hmm. Because he went from playing for the Packers, and then he took a year off, and then Holmgren called him back and said, how'd you like to be a coach? So he was one of the coaches when they won the Super Bowl with Favre and Reggie White. Then Holmgren took him to Seattle when they went to a Super Bowl with Matt Hasselbeck. And now for the past several years, he's been a linebackers coach under Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. And so, you know, we talked about this in depth, and I was talking about, you know, Joe Barry being maybe a bit of a scapegoat in that situation. And about relatability to players, those kinds of things. And then sometimes, yeah, you just make changes because, you know, you need to get the attention of the players and maybe go in a different direction. So Matt LaFleur, I think at the end of the day, decided that Joe Barry was not making in-game adjustments. There's all kinds of things that he was doing. Remember I told you guys about how they, you know, LaFleur moved him upstairs. Maybe he could see the field better. Calls the games from the press box. You know, Tyler Davis, a backup tight end, he had him on the sidelines holding up cards, so it would help with the communication in the secondary. So you let go a guy who's basically a linebacker's coach. Joe Barry got a job now with the Miami Dolphins, and you bring in Jeff Hafley, who was a defensive back coach, like at Pitt, when they had a guy named, you know, Darrell Revis. I think he's already in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah. Right?
And was around a lot of the other great defensive backs, Rondé Barber, some others. And they ended up, he then gets into the NFL. And he works for the Jets, Mike Pettine, who was a defensive coordinator for the Packers. Then got a job with the Browns. Then he got a job as a defensive back coach for the 49ers before eventually accepting this head coaching job the last 4 years at Boston College. One of the guys that worked with him at two of those teams was Mike LaFleur, the younger brother of Matt. So you see, Matt LaFleur had all this information on this Jeff Hafley guy and watching him at Boston College and then bringing him in. So he'll specialize in the secondary. And I asked LaFleur about this, and he said, essentially, yeah, you know, it's a passing game, and we needed a guy with a lot of expertise in coaching defensive backs to take the defense to the next level.
Mike, you were at the Super Bowl over the a couple weeks ago. How did you enjoy yourself? How was Vegas? You made it back. I'm proud of you. I'm very proud and impressed that you made it back, sir.
Well, the court date's in May.
I know some guys. Mike. I can help. We'll talk off air.
Good. I'll just tell you. I mean, first of all, the game was the Super Bowl is the best access of any. There's a guy that used to work in Green Bay that now works on Park Avenue for the NFL. And I took him aside and I said, Zach, Thursday afternoon at the Super Bowl is the best media availability in all of professional sports. Mm-hmm. As you're sitting down, you're talking to guys like Johnny Holland and Oren Burks, who used to play for the Packers. Now he's there in the Super Bowl, the 49ers. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, MVS. I got to visit with him again for a long time. Mm. You sit down with a cup of coffee and a croissant, and you just get to talk to these players. And since they're at the Super Bowl, the stories come out.
Yeah.
You know, the season's almost over. They're at the mountaintop. So you get great stories out of it, and you meet guys from around the league. It's sort of like a convention. Next week, I'm going to the scouting combine in Indianapolis. I'll tell you, the last night I was there, I was able to go out and do a couple of fun things. I was trying to find unique things that, you know, maybe my wife wouldn't want to go to, but I want to go to. I went and saw Rich Little perform.
Oh, wow.
At the Laugh Factory.
Whoa.
So the coolest part about this was he comes out, and of course he does all those great impressions that, you know, I watched mm-hmm. growing up as a kid. He tells the story about his big break was he was from Canada doing clubs. Somebody from CBS recognized him or thought he was pretty good, and they booked him for the Judy Garland show on CBS in 1964.
Wow.
And Judy thought he was great. Then he gets on the Sullivan show, and he tells all these stories about Ed Sullivan's show, Johnny Carson,
wow.
Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra. What a great show. And then I said to the bartender, man, this is great. How long is this run? He goes, well, we're out of here at the end of the month. I go, why? They're tearing down the Tropicana. This is where they're going to build the Oakland A's stadium.
Oh, that's You're right.
Now, the Tropicana, which has been there since 1957,
yeah.
is one of the originals. And you can see it's getting to be a little bit run down.
Hmm.
But that's where he and John Lovitz and some other guys have played a place called the Laugh Factory. You'll
yeah.
recognize the background. You know, see it. So I got to see that. I also went to a place called the Neon Boneyard.
Mm.
It's where they've got all the old neon signs from the old days of a strip, like the Stardust,
cool.
the Sahara, and all that. And you can walk around and take pictures of it. And it's a really cool display that they've got of old Las Vegas.
The actor in me wants to talk Rich Little with you, and being the architect of impersonators all the rest
of
the show. But I do want to make two quick notes, Mike. I should warn you. I am a huge lover of the NFL draft. I've been watching it with my best friend for over 30 some years. I love talking combine. I love talking scouting. So you have to join us after next week or something. We got to talk draft, especially where we have the draft this year.
Well, I'll call you. Yeah, you got five picks in the first three rounds,
mm-hmm.
right? Listen, I'm not a draft guy. You know why?
Okay.
Because I have spent, you know, I know guys like you
mm.
that have a draft board up on your living room wall. You're weird.
Weird.
Yep.
I don't
oh, yeah.
get it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
hey,
yeah.
That's not really what makes him weird, but
yeah,
that's
a
whole other show.
It's a long list, to be honest. But yeah, I own this, yes.
You know, we used to, now it's all online, but these guys used to buy these $20, $25 thick books with all these players. Like, do you understand you're not making any picks?
You are not in charge. Nobody is calling you to get your opinion on that. I don't know this wide receiver in the third round, but no, you're so right about that, and I can't help myself.
But for me, you know, it's like you're there, and they're bringing in all the quarterbacks, and then there's this kid named Baker Mayfield who's pretty cocky. Like, you know, he won the Heisman. And he's talking up a storm. You know, then there's a kid in there named Josh Rosen. And he's, I don't know, he kind of reminded me, not to say that you know, the Aaron Rodgers was cocky and arrogant, but just the way he kind of stylized his game. And who's another guy? Sam Howell?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But and then there's a kid down at the end. I said, this kid reminds me of Favre. Mm. And he's 6'7", though. He could throw the ball flat-footed 75 yards and hit a receiver during the work. I said, this kid I like. I like the way he talks. I like the way, you know, the way he approaches things, the way he carries himself, the way he handled us. That was Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you say, this is the kind of guy that, you know, I want to talk to. And that ends up being the most successful of all those players.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such an imperfect science with such an important, I mean, the most, I would say, studied position in all of sports is quarterback, and we still haven't necessarily figured it out. It's very similar to starting pitching. I want to, when we have time, the next time we talk, Mike, I'd like to talk a little bit about Brewers beginning camp, but let's, as we're wrapping up here, talk a little Bucks, if you don't mind. Is what's going on with the Bucks right now much ado about nothing? There's a lot of season left to be played. The Bucks aren't exactly 0-20 or anything like that. And we've seen this before, this story before. The Lakers some years ago, during the pandemic year, they looked like a wreck. They end up in the finals and winning the whole thing. It's not unheard of in basketball. It's a long season.
Yeah, but there's an awful lot going on. Mm. I mean, come on, man. First of all, You have this big buildup, a lovely day, you hire Adrian Griffin, and you fire him even though he's won 70% of their games. But it's true, they saw things, even though the Bucks are putting up 140 points a night, the opponent was putting up 120. You're going to have to have some defense if you're going to go deep into the playoffs. What I can't get over is that in the last week or so, some of the things that Doc Rivers has said, I mean, I sent you guys some tape, a week ago before the All-Star break. They lose to the Memphis Grizzlies and a team that's so banged up with injuries, it's mostly second and third stringers. And they go down to Memphis and they mop up the floor with these guys. So the Bucks lose that game. And at the end of the night, Doc Rivers says, I don't know, I think half these guys are still here and the other half were already on the plane to Cabo, to Cabo St. Luke's. He said that about his players. Like, dude, that's not going to play well. And then at the NBA All-Star break, Doc Rivers does a series of interviews, one where he says, I was helping the team last November. We found this out after Griffin was fired. Doc Rivers was consulting Adrian Griffin on things he could do. Mm. And then the Bucks call him and they say, hey, listen, would you like to be the next head coach of the Bucks? And he says, I don't think you should be doing that. He goes, well, we've already fired Adrian Griffin, so the job is open. Do you want it or not? And he said, I didn't agree with what they were doing, and that's why I hesitated to take the job. I mean, so that's what's out there as you put this team together, back together after the All-Star break, and they take on the Timberwolves, who right now are the top number one team in the Western Conference. Mm. You know what's missing, though? Chris Middleton, he's still out. He's been out for 6 of the 10 games since River took over with a sprained ankle. He's going to miss tonight. He's going to miss their next game, too. It'd be nice to see Chris back, but I think it's kind of a fragile situation. Doc Rivers fired also one of Adrian Griffin's assistants yesterday, Nate Mitchell, coming back from the All-Star break. Because they've got way too many coaches, but yeah, there's plenty of drama right there. We'll see if the Bucks can turn it around.
It's going to be an interesting rest of the season. Looking forward to it and seeing how that goes. And looking forward to talking with you again real soon, Mike. It's been too long. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, James. Everybody have a good weekend.
You too. Have a good one, sir. Safe travels out there. One of the best in the business right there, Mike Clemens, joining us to talk sports. We appreciate that. Mike tries to join us whenever he can on Fridays. We'll hope to talk to him again real soon. Terry and I will be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks for joining us, and a big thank you to Mike Clemens for hanging out with us for a little bit. That was fun talking with Mike. Appreciate the time from him. Let's go ahead and dive into a little entertainment news, Terry. And over on the Sunrise Show, you and I touched on this one. Dolly Parton's Pet Gala came out this past Wednesday on Paramount Plus. Looked like everyone who was attendance had a blast. In addition to all the cute animals, got to see Dolly perform with Lainey Wilson and Carly Pierce. That was pretty cool. If you watch the video, Lainey Wilson looks like it takes her a minute. Like, and I love that.
Like, just the pause of, myself?
Am I really? Yeah. Like, it's such a cool little moment. And I personally am a big fan of that young lady. And one of the things I like about her is her genuineness.
Yeah.
I really feel like I obviously don't know her, and you never know. But what you see is what you get, it feels like. And in part, I could say that because of moments like that, where you could just see there's no airs. She's not putting on here. She's, all of a sudden, she's like 7 years old, listening to Dolly Parton in her living room or something like that. And now she's on stage.
Yeah, that's really
cool. It's pretty cool. There were some things that came out of this, and we just thought we'd have some fun touching on some great Dolly stories that we've stumbled upon recently. You and I touched on the fact that when she did the 78 Playboy cover shoot, she said, the only way I'm doing it, I didn't want to be naked unless everyone knew it was a joke, and we kind of talked about that a little bit there. Well, how about this one? Dolly said last month that there still might be hope for a Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot. What? They are still working on that. Dolly was an uncredited producer on the original show. I can't imagine most people know that. I can't imagine a lot of people knew that.
I'm just kind of wondering why. Not why did they know? Like, why did she? Oh, you know what I mean? Like, what made her dabble in that?
Because I'll tell you right now, because Dolly Parton is arguably the smartest woman in business ever, and smartest Fair. Woman in entertainment ever.
Yeah.
She understood really early on that how I get a seat at the table is not being talent, is being an executive producer or being a producer or something. And she was so good at this that my community, the acting community, saw a lot of that and were like, hey, that's really smart. So now anytime you see a big name production, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck are in or something like that, and the credits are rolling in, you're going to see executive producer Matt Damon, executive producer Ben Affleck, because it gets you a seat at the table. Dolly got that. Like, and credit to her about it. And I had no idea that she was a part of Buffy the Vampire yeah. Slayer. I just found that out like everybody else did, I'll be honest. Dolly also wants to hold a Finding Dolly contest to cast her in an upcoming Broadway musical, she said. She says, right now, I'm working on my life story as a musical, and that she's hoping to see the dream come true by the late 2025.
That's cool.
I love the fact that she's behind it, that she's working on it. We don't see that very often. Oftentimes, it's an uncredited or somebody else that's not in the mix. It's coming right from the horse.
I think that sounds really cool.
And Dolly just released a collaboration with Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull. It's called Powerful Women. It samples 9 to 5, and it is banger. It is a banger. I'm not kidding, everybody. It is good.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I couldn't believe it. I got to check this out just for the heck of it. I did not expect to like it. Like, man, this is actually banging. Yeah. It's pretty good. For those that don't know, Pitbull is huge in the country community and huge in the NASCAR community mm-hmm. and everything. He owns a car. He's really... the Latin community has gotten way behind the NASCAR movement and a lot of that for over the last 10, 15 years. And guys like him are a part of that. And it's kind of cool that they've got like a relationship. They text each other and stuff. I love the idea of Pitbull and Dolly Parton just texting each other randomly. Hey, Dolly, did you see this? You know, for no reason whatsoever, like at 10 o'clock at night. That's pretty cool. Looking what's new on your small screen tonight, a lot of people excited about this one on Max tonight. The streaming premiere of Priscilla stars Jacob Ellerby and Kaylee Spaney as Elvis and Priscilla Presley. A lot of talk about that one. Netflix, Tyler Perry's Mia Koopa, starring Kelly Rowland. Tonight at 9 o'clock on CMT, Darius Rucker is going to be on CMT Campfire Sessions.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, those are really good. He should be perfect for that.
Yeah.
And on Amazon, the premiere of the second, that's a different, the Jenny Slate special is tonight on Amazon. You can check that out. On Netflix, the 30th Annual Screen Actors Guild nominees will be announced. And Shane Gillis is hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend with 21 Savage. On Sunday, the American Idol auditions will be taking place. On A&E on Sunday, WWE Rivals, the third season premiere of that. And then on AMC, also on Sunday, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. This is the biggest of the spinoffs people are excited about because Andrew Lincoln is coming back for that show. So that should be interesting. What I wanted to really focus on, because all that stuff's great and entertainment is your choice. Go ahead and like what you like. But what I wanted to focus on right now was Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Silver Fox is the Golden Age of Radio. This is directed by Chris Williams. They had their opening night last night, and I heard great things about it. They've got a 6 o'clock show tonight and a 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow. It'll be taking place at the Lewis Canton Studio Theater. Be sure to check that out. Get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org. wrctheater.org. Also keep in mind, everybody, along with that great show, that you can be a part of these shows. Right now, they are looking for directors for their musical, a musical director for their Christmas show in 2024. So if you have any interest in that, or if you've always wanted to do something like that, encourage you to. I worked with a first-time director in It's a Wonderful Life, and it was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. I encourage people to do that. Rumors, the auditions for that are March 11th and 12th at the WRCT Auditorium, one of Neil Simon's most famous plays, being directed by Christine Sullivan. I'll meet you there.
Good to know.
It's been too long. I have missed being on stage so darn much, and I've got a bit of a break, sort of. Very, I say that very loosely, to where I could do a show there, and I have some time next spring, towards the end of summer, August, like around there, where I could maybe do another show. Our friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, CWAC, are going to be doing some good shows coming up next month. I don't know. I almost did it. I don't know if I can say what they're doing. I almost ruined it. But they're doing a particular show coming up next year around that time that I've wanted to do my whole life.
Oh.
So I don't know. I might have to choose between the two. We'll see. But more importantly than my silliness involving in this, encourage everybody to audition for Rumors. If you've ever thought about acting, if you've acted 100 times in your life, this is the play. This is such a good show. Neil Simon plays, I think, are relatively smooth to be able to learn your blocking and everything. It's a fun show. It's not an overly complicated one, so if you want to work backstage, I think it's a great idea too. Come on to WRCT. Come on to community theater. Wherever you're listening to us, give your community theater a shot. It is. I know a lot of people that do that work and that get into this industry because they want to be the next great actor or whatever, and that's fine. But I know even more people that love to do this stuff because, for one, they just like entertaining. They just find it fun. But it's also a real confidence builder.
And it's a good social opportunity,
it's
right?
Such I mean, a good social.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and check it out. You can learn more about auditions, get your tickets for the Silver Foxes production, and of course, get your tickets for the Glass Menagerie. Going to be premiering on March 1st, the winter production, the Tennessee Williams Classic. Seth and Beth Habhager directing this one. We have our own Melissa involved in it. You can find out more with the interview we did with them this week at civicmedia.us. Go ahead and check that out. We're going to have a special director's cut this weekend where we're going to put that interview in there in case you missed it. Try to hit some more audience with it as well.
Nice.
And speaking of our weekend lineup, be sure to check out, stick around this weekend. We have great stuff lined up for you at 7 on Saturday, the Sunshine Polka Show. The greatest show of all time, period. Like, it's
likely
the greatest.
Yes.
It's right up there. It's
I
like,
agree.
It's 1A, 1B. It's such a good show. Check it out. Tim Hubbelt does an amazing job scouring the universe looking for amazing polka for you. Be sure to check it out. 7 a.m. every Saturday, the Sunshine Polka Show. Also replays at 1 on Sundays. Join us for Terry Talks Nutrition at 8 on Saturday, a wonderful show that Terry Lemon hosts, brought to us by our friends over at Family Natural Foods. Great insight. Really,
I have learned a lot on that show. Like, I enjoy that show.
Yeah, Terry does a really good job with it. We appreciate our friends at Family Natural Foods working that show in for us. And, of course, join Seth for Over the Back Fence, 11 to noon on Saturdays. We had a great, great Over the Back Fence this past Saturday.
Oh, good.
I called up and I was letting the audience know how hard we have worked to keep that show on the air. Over a couple of owners, we have had to work and tinker with that show because, honestly, the show doesn't work. It's a call-in show. It doesn't work if you guys don't call in.
Right.
And we don't get a ton of calls. So we don't want to do radio you guys don't want. So I brought that up on the air. And I've talked about this. I've been very honest with the audience. I let you guys look behind the PD curtain here, the program director curtain, all the time. We need your calls if you want to keep that show alive. Well, we got some calls. We got some really interesting calls and got to talk to some people. One person who comes from a radio background, who loves the show, says there's nothing like it in all of Wisconsin. There's no show like that. It is our bulletin board, our community bulletin board show. You call in, you give us your items you're looking for, items you want to sell. There's no there's no price limit on it. But it's also a conversation show. It's also a show to be able to talk with each other. No middleman. Just you and I straight, or you and Seth straight up and everything. It's one of my favorite things in radio is Over the Back Fence. I don't want to see that show go anywhere. But we also don't want to do radio you don't want. And you guys are the real program directors. I'm just the guy with the title. You guys are the real program directors out there. So if you want that show around, we need more of your calls. We need more of you to interact with us on the show and reach out to us.
So that's great that you had a good response last Saturday. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this Saturday is the same.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Also on Sunday, great stuff for you. Join us for Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8. Seth takes a different theme every week and has a lot of fun bringing you some wonderful music about it. And Director's Cut from 8 to 9. Be sure to join us for that, too. It's our arts and entertainment show where we highlight all of our local entertainers out there and artists. And we know there are plenty of them out there. Reach out to us anytime. If you want to be on Director's Cut, reach out to us. We'd love to have you on the show.
You know, going back to Over the Back Fence, if you take a look around, you definitely have something you could sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We all have more than enough.
Oh, yeah. 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 Be sure to join us for Over the Back. Join Seth for Over the Back Fence tomorrow from 11 to noon, 424-2600. You can just call up and join the conversation. We will get to our state and local news. We'll come back with nothing but fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
East of the sun and west of the moon, we'll build a dream house. Oh, Lord, dear.
One of the greatest voices ever.
Yes.
Ugh, just nice. Love Diane Carroll.
I was actually just thinking of, it wasn't like open a bottle or something, a wine bottle tonight. Yes. Like I was just like, you know, can't you just listen to that and just sip on a, glass of wine?
Good call. That's your soundtrack for you're opening your bottle this weekend or tonight. As it is natural to open that bottle weekend. That's coming up this weekend. Yeah. And speaking of, Terry, you set me up perfectly. We got to get to this Country Life beer can life hacks. We found a video with the caption, "Redneck Dad Demonstrates 12 Easy Beer Can Life Hacks." So, of course, we had to check this out. And honestly, who knew that the beer can was this versatile?
I mean, who knew you didn't just recycle it?
Yeah, right, yeah. Or smash it on your, or try to smash it on your head. I kid you not. A party I went to out at UCLA. I'm out there for maybe a week, and I had never really been on a college campus before or anything like that. And I've seen movies and stuff, but I never actually experienced it. And it's even wilder than I had experienced. And I'm walking around this frat, and I'm trying to like navigate like who to talk to and what to do and everything, and I walk past and there's this guy. He's like, "Hey, do this with me," and he's got a bunch of beer cans in front of him and he's smashing beer cans. And I didn't know he was like a back defensive lineman.
Yeah,
at UCLA,
totally set you up.
Huge guy and stuff. And yeah, he's definitely set me up. So I'm like, "Yeah, you go ahead first," and everything. And he just like, he's staring at me, grabs a can and goes to smash it. It was a full can. And this guy would just kept trying for a little bit. I kept moving. I just kept walking. Like, hey, I don't want anything to do with this. This is not for me.
This is not going to end well.
So more than that, more things to do with it than that. Don't have any dryer sheets left? Easy. Just toss an empty beer can in the dryer.
What?
Wait a minute here. It gets rid of all the static electricity, too.
What is the first thing it does?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
I figured that's why it was going in there.
Right, yeah. What is this other thing that it does that we should know about?
Adds a nice fragrance to your clothes.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever wanted to smell like an alcoholic?
Like,
now you can.
Like you go on a date, you smell like light beer.
Is that is that
Guinness?
Is that Old Milwaukee I smell? Is that 75 Old Milwaukee? Is that Pabst? Do I smell some red, white, and blue out here? Who's looking for that?
Who's throwing a beer can in their dryer?
I don't know. I don't even know how you, like.
It's probably like a hot potato when you take it out, too.
How do you find, like, you know that that's one of those things that somebody didn't just have the, like, scientifically think,
it was some dumb college dude.
It was somebody who, wait a minute. What's that sound in the dryer? Did I throw a beer can in the dryer?
Did you ever, like, grab a pair of jeans out and you grab the zipper and it's, like, hot?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how hot that can is?
Yeah. Not to mention the noise that it's going to make in there. Like, it's going to drive you. If a quarter drives you crazy when it gets stuck in the dryer, I mean, I can't imagine what that would. But I am a little curious about the science of it, though. How about a beer can lantern? Basically, you cut two wings in the can so there's room inside for a candle. The light bounces off the reflection on the sides, but it's shielded from the wind on the back. Extra points because it's also romantic. Again, you've already got the cologne. You've already got the smell. Hey, is that hams I smell?
How many of these rednecks get injured in the cutting of the can to get the candle inside?
100%. 100%. At least nick themselves or something. Because it's not like you're doing this when you're completely sober either. Like let's keep that in mind with some of this here. Using a can opener, remove the top of the beer can and the edges should be smooth. Now you have yourself a beautiful vase or a toothbrush holder or something like
that. Oh, come on. Just recycle them.
I love this. Do you know, this is basically, it's not, so they say this comes from the site Redneck Dad.
Shocker.
It's like a website a website. It's somebody,
probably just has fun, goofy ideas.
Yeah. But I also believe that the person, one of the people behind this is a single man.
The same guy that writes dad jokes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Because we all you get your first apartment or your first place or whatever. And what's one of those rites of passages? Having the bottles on the refrigerator.
You
hang on to these bottles because it's a cool looking bottle or whatever and stuff. That's where this stems from.
Oh,
having all these unused cans and bottles. And what can I do with them? A vase. It's a toothbrush holder.
Okay, I get the toothbrush holder. That's disgusting. Putting a few like dandelions in a beer can. Okay, I can get on that. The candle thing, maybe, but But the dryer, why would you ever put a can in the dryer?
You've really got to know your audience on these things, people. You've really got to know, like, hey, is the person I'm doing this for, are they really going to enjoy this stuff? And I think that's really key to this.
I'm saying take the couple pennies for recycling instead.
Yeah, I feel like that's a better idea. But there is one more, Terry.
Oh, good.
Did you know you can break into a padlock with a beer can? Oh, that's great. Yeah, we want to promote that.
Oh, interesting. How?
The dad made it look pretty easy, but it probably isn't. All you have to do is cut a thin piece of can so it can be a shimmy down onto the padlock.
Oh, seriously. So how about any little piece of can?
Literally anything. Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's see what's on your mind. Good morning. What's on your mind out there?
I think you guys are being a little discriminate here.
Possibly.
What about all the wine drinkers that sit there and take their bottle corks and cutting boards out of them or hot pads or...
Well, that's somewhat useful. Would you throw your wine corks in the dryer?
Sometimes they might happen.
It might happen. Maybe that's a new hack we'll figure out here.
You know what you could do with beer cans? Go in with the little candle idea. You could poke holes in it and then add them to like a string of lights, right?
Oh, yeah,
like
you could hang
them.
Like a tiki kind of thing.
I mean,
I've seen that, but you forgot about Schlitz and Blatz.
That's a good point. We did.
I didn't.
We did. I
should have remembered Blatz.
Green Belt. We forgot Green Belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to get through
red, white, blue.
I got red, white, and blue in. I believe I got that one in. I got hams. I got a couple of them, but oh, I forgot Schlitz. Oh, that's a good one. Nice reference.
I've actually tell you the truth, Terry. I've actually seen where people have taken their beer cans and they poked a bunch of holes in it
and made the little lanterns.
Awesome. Or use them as that canopy hangers for their campers. I've seen that. I mean, especially if you go to the festivals and things like that.
For sure.
You see all the kinds of goofy things.
I'm still on. How about just recycle them?
I did a remote for a swap meet when I was working in California for a station out there, and I'd never been to a real true swap meet before, and it was so amazing, and the millions of different things you see. And there was a lady who was selling lamps that were just like Pabst cans, but they just hanging off the lamp and everything. And she was charging like 50, 70 bucks for them. And people were coming by and picking them up and everything. Like they were, I wouldn't say they were selling like hotcakes, but she had like five or six of them when I got there. She only had one left when I was leaving. People like that stuff. I don't know. I feel like you could make that your own. It might be even more fun to make it your own, but I don't know. People like some of these things. It's an interesting one.
It might be a Wisconsin thing and throw it in your deer cabin or something like that.
That too.
Or like, you know, the traditional basement bar kind of setting. I mean, there might be a place for some of it, but oh my goodness.
I'd rather have the lamp leg from A Christmas Story. I'd rather have that. Yeah. I think if I got to choose between which one I'd have, that's the one.
I'm taking none.
But I don't,
I found out a good Christmas gift for Terry.
Yes, I think you did. I think we both did.
And I just have you over once, show it, and then it's out. Over the back fence. Hi, Seth. Happen to have this leg lamp that has a beer can shade.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
All right, you guys have a good weekend, too.
See ya.
Appreciate you. Best listeners in radio. We'll take a quick time out, check in with our partners. We'll be back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. Take you right to the top of the hour. We've got good stuff to get into. Nothing but fun right here at WFHR.
We are fun.
Yes, we are fun. We are fun, and we are the home of sax solos. We still have saxophone solos here.
I think
it might be the most famous saxophone solo ever.
If we were in the old building, we'd be able to see the saxophone player through the window.
Yes.
We didn't get good windows here.
We didn't get that, though.
It's not
fair. Yeah, that's the one catch. One catch, and this is a very hot room. This room gets cooking. Chuck and I were talking the other day about trying to, like, before spring, like, how can we make this a little cooler, the room here, a little bit? We're working on that. We are working on wrapping up the show here. Thank you so much to the best listeners in radio for joining us, the callers that have called up, our star of the day. Day winner, talking with Mike Clemens. It's been a really fun show. Thank you to Brittany and our forecast. It's been a lot of fun. Let's wrap up with some interesting stuff here, and we have a Then I Write story for you as well. Let's get right into that. A woman in St. Petersburg, Florida, of course, this is taking us to Florida, named Kiki. It's K-E-K-E.
I mean, we're just channeling our inner Carl.
Yes. Well, you're right. She was dropping her kid off at a daycare on Tuesday when she briefly left her driver's side door open. Then, out of nowhere, three German shepherds dashed into her vehicle and refused to get out.
Okay, that would freak me out a little bit.
Kiki said that they were holding the car hostage, and she didn't know what to do, so she called the police. The police showed up, and they also struggled to get the dogs out. In a post on Facebook, they said, "Some dogs will do anything for a car ride." Just... I'm telling you, you can take all the TikTok influencers, you can take all the social media people you want. None of them can do as good as what our police departments
are doing. And compare it to a dog, right? Like, people resonate with pets.
Police departments, I don't know who the social media teams are at every single police department. I'm not even exaggerating
good at it.
Here.
Yeah.
They're great at it. Like, I would take notes from them on how to run social media. Like, they're just good. That's hilarious. There's comedy writers that couldn't have come up with that. That's hilarious.
Like, if that happened to me... I'd be inclined to, my first thought would be like go around to the driver or to the passenger side and open the door, but I'd be afraid they'd like bite me. Like, yeah. I'd have to be on the hood of the car trying to open that door.
I think that's an important part of the story here to keep in mind. These are German shepherds.
Yeah.
These like, aren't I just would, like little chihuahuas.
I would be intimidated. Yeah, like, I don't know.
They eventually coaxed the German shepherds out by using fish sticks. Who had fish sticks around?
It's probably whatever they had.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to say the donuts in their car. Right. Let's be real.
The dogs did. You can tell that joke. The dogs did get a ride to the local animal urgency care where they were watched until the owner was located. It's unclear what the owner's story is, but we're assuming that they'd only been sent back to a good home. In the comments, another local said, "This is not the first time these three dogs have done this. They jumped in my son's car a couple of years ago. He brought them home, and we tracked down their owner."
I mean, there is the whole thing about they have to get in the car. So if you, I mean, I don't, I would doubt when you're getting out of your car, they're like shoving past you to get in. So don't leave your doors and windows open.
I love the idea of these dogs, like...
like pushing you down?
Well, I like the idea of like it's a prison break. Like, it's the Great Escape or something.
It's like Ocean's 88.
Yeah. And these dogs have been planning this and working this out. Like, okay, as soon as she opens the door, go.
Like, look at that sucker. We're getting her next.
Yeah, and then they get in the vehicle and they're like, okay, who can drive? Like, no, come on. Who can drive?
There's no treats.
What, nobody can drive?
No French fries on the floor.
Oh, man.
Nothing.
Again? Like, didn't somebody take a driver's test? Come on.
But there's something about the fact that they're German shepherds. You know what I mean? Like, there's something just a little intimidating about that.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a That Ain't Right story. I think that's kind of a sweet story.
I think it's kind of a fun story. I think it's kind of a fun one. I will say, though, that this might be a That Ain't Right story. This is an interesting one right here. Officials at a British zoo said a plan to curb the rude habits of their famous potty mouth parrot is showing some promising early results. This is a follow-up to a story we did, because we did this story about a month or so ago about this parrot that's got a bit of a sailor's mouth,
hey,
if you will.
Hey, they have to learn it somewhere.
Yep. The Lincolnshire Wildlife Park said in January that its eight profane parrots would be moved to a flock of 92 more polite birds in the hopes that the badly behaving birds would pick up some more family-friendly words
and
sounds. Wait,
there's eight of them?
Yeah.
I mean, who do you think it was? You think it was like the night zookeeper that was feeding them that was dropping all these bad words?
It could be that, or it could be, you know, there's a lot of little kids at zoos.
And
they love those words.
I mean, wouldn't it be funny? Like, if that's like your mitt, like, yeah. I'm going to get them saying this. That, you know, for how long does it take before they do it? I mean, it's not right, but I'm just saying, like, for how long
that's
do you
hilarious.
Have to... Is it like the 21-day habit that humans have, or is it?
Now, here's the thing that ain't right about it to me, because Steve Nichols, the chief executive of the park, has mentioned this as well. What could happen is, well, these birds, these foul-mouthed birds, could end up, getting more polite words that they learn, or they could turn
all 92 could be all doing it. Would that be funny?
We're definitely following this story. We will definitely let you know how that wraps up.
They could probably have a residency in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then a carrot top.
And, I mean.
And, what do you get on that carrot top?
They blend
top.
In there.
Yeah, yeah. We got to get to a palate cleanser. We get some good stories in, and it kicks off with Midday Magazine, our final one of the week. We have a really good one lined up for you, too. In part one, we're going to catch up with our friends at the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Our good friend Amy Vetter, resource specialist, will be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about housing and get into some of that with assisted living facilities with Amy. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Great conversation. And in part two, our good friend and yours, Terry, Craig Broren, superintendent with Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, will be in. Craig is bringing in some friends. We've got Kelly Schaefer, early childhood and 4K administrator, as well as Terry Thomas, Pitch 4K coordinator.
Oh, that'll be a great show. I don't know how much you've heard about or you know have researched about the Pitch Early Childhood Center, but I think this is, it might be the first school year, but it might be the second school year that that's mm-hmm. been in place. But there is a lot of really great work going on there. Yeah. And just really, you know, I think concentrating on, you know, that 3-4-year-old age and what does that mean for growth and development. So those two, Terry and Kelly, they'll do a great job.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking with them again. They're great conversationalists. And I will, just me speaking here, I personally am appreciative of Craig Broren and what he does for our community. And I'm very, very thankful to be able to talk with him when any chance we get. As straight as they come, no airs he puts on. What you see is what you get. I think we need more of that in our education system, more people like him. And
so
I appreciate
yeah,
the work.
You got a great hour of Midday Magazine
jam-packed.
Today.
Got good stuff on our radio dial tonight, too. It's a ball night, everybody. Milwaukee Bucks versus Minnesota Timberwolves. We previewed a little bit of that with our friend Mike Clemens. It's go time, Milwaukee. Get it done.
Here we go.
And no better way to do it than the best team in the West right now in Minnesota, which is crazy to say. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. But Minnesota Timberwolves are the number one team in the West. You can beat them. That's a great way to kick off this second half of the season.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
On Milwaukee. Also on WIRI at 6:50, Assumption Girls Basketball versus Fall River. A postseason game. It should be good. We're going to have some great action over there. 6:50, our pregame will kick off for that. And we're going to continue to follow Assumption Girls as they continue on in the tournament. We hope to have them.
Best of luck to them. Absolutely.
Yes. We love our Royals. We appreciate not only them and being able to cover them and the work that they do, all those young ladies and that coaching staff, but our own team here and Randy, Seth, and Michael, and all the great people and announcers we have working on this.
And any high school kids who are making it past the regular season. You know, that's always fun, too.
Yeah.
We've got state wrestling this weekend too. Mm-hmm. Got some local wrestlers. So there's a lot going on in high school sports. And I think that's great.
Support your local sports, everybody. We'll be doing that right here. We always are looking for more sponsors to be a part of these things. One of the greatest PR moves you can make for your business is being a part of local sports. Truly.
Absolutely.
Like the numbers speak for themselves.
Every parent and grandparent is listening, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. It's a great thing to check out. And be sure to check out our friends, the Silver Foxes. They have their Golden Age of Radio going on today at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow, they'll have a 2 o'clock matinee over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Be sure to check that out and find out more information at WRCtheater.org. Just a couple of other things I wanted to mention. The Winter's Farmers Market's going on tomorrow over at the Moravian Church from 9 to 1. Go check that out. They got nice food trucks out there, some amazing vendors, and it's a great chance to get out and, you know, hodgepodge with people and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a fun
absolutely.
Time. We tonight have the Elks Lodge has their Lent fish fry going on. This will be going on from now until March 22nd. Served with coleslaw, rye bread, and potato choice. Got a lot of great options here for you. They will have delivery available for assisted living homes and senior apartments. 15% off all food sales will go to the Elks charities. And
you
boy, do they do some amazing work.
They do really good work and support a lot. And the fish is great.
Yeah.
Get out and support them.
Appreciate our friends over at the Elks Lodge. And wanted to wrap up with two things. One, our friends over at the Port Edward Schools have a concert coming up on the 26th.
Cool.
That is Monday, right? Yeah, this Monday. Port Edward Middle and High School have their choir concert at 6:30 this Monday. Be sure to attend. Check it out. Support our local kids and support the arts.
Yeah.
Terry, let's wrap up talking a little United Way. We touched on Power of the Purse earlier and the importance of that and all the good work that Power of the Purse does and what Women's United does. One thing I'd like to, and we've talked about this before, but it's been a little while. If somebody's out there listening and they would like to be a part of Women's United, is there a way to do that?
Yep. So you just get a hold of me directly, actually. You can email me. It's Terry, T-A-R-I, at UWSWAC.org. There's some limited information on our website, or you can, of course, give us a call at 715-421-0390. We can tell you all about Women United and, you know, what that group does and where their focus is, of course, all on early grade learning and literacy, but really talk about how that gets done and why we need support of women in our community to be part of that. So there, you know, that's going on. We've got Power of the Purse coming up on March 12th. Mm-hmm. We did talk about that earlier. So a couple of other things we have going is our funding application is open right now for local agencies that provide programming to members of our community. And when I say community, I mean our whole United Way service area. So Southwood and Adams County, you can work on those applications. They are due next Thursday, February 29th by 4 p.m. We also have My Free Taxes available right now. Yeah. So this is a way to get your taxes filed for free. If your household income was $79,000 or less in 2023, you qualify for free tax preparation. Visit our website, uwswac.org. You click on the banner that says My Free Taxes. And I think it's one more click to actually get to the site.
Yes.
And you can do it from your, you know, desktop computer, from a laptop, from a tablet, from your phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really quite user-friendly. And I know you have personal experience with it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I think that you've talked about it a lot. But it's just important to note that it's usable. You know, it's not really hard.
There's certain things as Italians we're sensitive of. And one of them is how Capone got taken out. We're not going out that way. Get your taxes done, people. Get your taxes done right. I'm just kidding. But I've been using My Free Taxes for a handful of years. And so far, so good. It's been great. Those people are wonderful. And it is very easy to do where even I can pull it off. And it's something that's such a great resource that we appreciate the My Free Taxes, appreciate the United Way letting us know about this.
And as always, if you have a need, if you have something you'd like to that you need to know about, if there's a program you need, some kind of service that you're in need of, or maybe you have things to give, you know, whether that be time, talent, treasure, certainly give us a call at 211, and that is as simple as dialing the three digits 211 for information, resource, and referral.
And find out more at uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up on your community. We wrap up with this, Terry. The Cadbury Bunny tryouts are happening again. And your pet can enter. Just follow Cadbury on Instagram, post a photo, and explain why they're the best. Then tag Cadbury in it using the hashtag Cadbury Bunny Contest. It's the sixth year they've done it. They're doing a March Madness-style bracket for the first time. Past winners include a few dogs, a frog, a one-eyed cat named
Crash. Oh, it's any pet?
Crash.
I thought it had
any
to be
pet.
A rabbit.
It could be any pet. It could be any pet. Cool. Then they just put the bunny ears on.
I love the Cadbury eggs.
I love it too. Yeah, I love this. I love that they do this still. Again, you can find out more about this at CadburyTryouts.com or just using the hashtag Cadbury Bunny Contest. Great show, Terry. Appreciate you.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.